You're tuned to the Rosie on the House show. Today, it's all about avoiding common mistakes homeowners make that drive up their utility costs. The energy efficiency experts from Rias are in studio ready to take your questions at 1-888-ROSIE-4U.
Welcome back, y'all, to Rosie on the House, where we're trying a massive education campaign that's going to save everyone willing to listen through this literally thousands of dollars, not only on wasted electricity over the long-term future of your inhabitants of your residence, but also on improvements that promise things that they just can't deliver. And I want to give y'all one big clue right now as to who you could or could not trust. If any advertisement or any commercial is advertising that they can save 10, 20, 30, 40% of your total bill, you need to be, your little BS alarms need to go off in your head. Those little red beacons that say this doesn't sound quite right need to be resounding loudly inside your head. There is literally hardly anything you can do to save 30 or 40% on your total bill. That is cost effective. Okay?
Unless you have...
And Todd, I can make their bill zero.
I mean, I've seen circumstances where you've made relatively small improvements and a few thousand dollars, and it has saved 30 or 40%. But it's because you have this outliner bill that is so much more expensive than they should be paying somebody else because they have a catastrophic failure.
A
normal bill, you're right.
And you've jumped in here before I was able to reintroduce you, but I'm glad you did. Todd Russo of Rias is joining us as our expert on home energy audit performance. We continue to get phone calls during the break, Todd, about your prior customers that are just wanting to say how much they appreciated what you were able to do at their house. Why don't you give your phone number? We are a statewide broadcast. Why don't you mention which areas you operate in?
We serve all of Maricopa County. Okay. Our phone number is 480-969-7500, or on the web is reeis.com.
Okay. We've talked about a lot of things that it isn't. The air conditioner is the source. We've talked about insulation, probably isn't the problem. We've talked about attic ventilation, probably isn't the problem. We've talked about leaky weather stripping, probably isn't the problem. We've talked about windows, probably aren't the problem. Surely it's got to be the air conditioner, right?
Well, I do want to qualify your statements just a little bit.
All right.
With the building, you want to prevent the heat transfer. So if you have a ton of solar rating heat gain, you want to prevent that. If you have failing insulation, you want to fix that, right? But assuming you get the building to perform the way it's supposed to, then you start addressing the air conditioning issues.
Absolutely. And I've heard a lot of air conditioning ads talking about saving 40 and 50% on the bill.
It's not possible.
I've heard.
And if you're real,
I hear it all the time.
Yeah, and if you listen to a lot of them, there's this asterisk that says, 40% of your air conditioning percentage of your bill.
Yeah.
But in most cases, your heating and cooling bill is half your bill. So you can't reduce your bill 90%.
And I have a lot of homeowners and I have a lot of air conditioning contractors call up on Monday morning and beat me up when I make this comment that we've been over air conditioning homes in the desert regions of Arizona ever since air conditioning was invented.
Yeah, there's a couple reasons why, but you're right. In most circumstances, when you go out to a house, the heat load of the building itself is less than what the output of the air conditioning unit is.
Yeah. And we have done that historically based on bad intuition and bad guts. And basically now for the last 50 years, just tradition that, folks move here from the Midwest and they say, yeah, I'm going to retire to the desert, but boy, I want to be able to stay cool in the summer. So get me get me the biggest monster air conditioning you can. But your house is only 1400 square foot. I don't care. I want the biggest air conditioner I can buy.
Yeah. When you oversize an air conditioning unit, what it ends up doing is it short cycles. And your house will actually be less comfortable with an air conditioning unit that turns on and turns off versus one that runs. The other thing, it'll consume a lot more electricity because an air conditioning unit uses 7 times the energy when it turns on than when it runs. So if you have a system that's on, off, on, off, on, off, 2 things happen. Number one, you consume more electricity. Number two, an air conditioning system's job is to remove heat and remove moisture. It doesn't remove the moisture. So you end up having a cold, humid house instead of a cold, dry house.
It's wrong all the way around. We've done it. We've done it for years and years and years. A lot of the reasons we did it also, Todd, and I'll tell you from knowing from the inside of the industry, is basically we just weren't putting the time or the money or the energy into good duct design. And we figured, let's just blow more cold air. You know, we were mounting air conditioners. A lot of times in the 60s, we were mounting air conditioners to evap cooling ductwork.
Right. Totally different airflow, right? Yeah, I mean, National Comfort Institute did a study of over 10,000 new installs in the last few years. And they found that the average air conditioning unit loses 43% of its cooling capacity, meaning if you have a 5-ton unit, you lose close to 40% of that cooling because it never actually reaches the house because they haven't paid attention to the ductwork.
Yeah, and I tell people all the time, when you're getting an estimate to take a look at replacing your air conditioning equipment, one, the contractor ought to be doing a full load calc on the house. They ought to be sticking their head up in the attic or find out wherever your return air and your ductwork is. They ought to be doing an analysis on how well that is currently put together. And when they give you a recommendation for that new equipment, if they're not recommending downsizing the equipment, you probably have the wrong company there giving you a bid for the house. How many times? And then they try and upsell them into a SEER rating. They try and upsell them to an 18 SEER rating, and it would take a third grader to look at the ductwork and say, why are you putting an 18 SEER unit on a 2 SEER duct design?
Right. Yeah, and you're going to get a lot of calls on Monday when I make this statement, but most air conditioning companies in the Valley, and not all, but many of them, do not understand airflow and the importance of airflow with the system. You would be better off buying a less quality piece of equipment and spending a couple $1,000s to fix your ductwork than you are buying the highest SEER piece of equipment. You will get less performance out of that high SEER piece of equipment.
Amen. Say it again, brother.
You're better off spending $5,500 on the 13 SEER equipment and $2,500 on ductwork than you are spending $8,000 on the high SEER equipment.
Oh, if we could just blaze
that. But the profit margins
that.
Are so much better.
Well, if you really want to get into that, I mean, the issue is it is hard to do ductwork. Yep. It takes a ton of labor, a ton of time in the attic, and it's not easy to turn and burn, and you can't make nearly the money out.
One way you can simplify it, make it a whole lot easier, just run everything in flex.
Well, you know, obviously.
That's a joke, homeowners. That's a joke. I'm not a big believer in flex duct at all.
Rigid ductwork is better ductwork than flex ductwork. Unfortunately, not every budget or installation circumstance will allow you to do full rigid systems, but you are better off with rigid. But it is more expensive.
It's not that you should never use flex duct, but I'm just not a fan of using it as much as I've seen it used by many of the contractors all over the state.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. As we scoot down to the Tucson foothills and bring Linda into the conversation. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Well, I hope I ask this question in a way that is easily understandable, because as I am thinking of it, I'm getting mixed up.
Okay.
I have there's basically three people living in a two-story, 4,000 square foot home, and then with an additional townhouse that is also two-story. The townhouse is new, and there were instructions to keep the degrees no more or no less than 2 degrees different in the upstairs and the downstairs in the townhouse, which is about 2,000 square feet.
Did they give you any thought process on why they told you to do that?
No, I was hoping you could tell me.
You've got me a little baffled. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that they're concerned about one of the two units turning on and turn off frequently to make up the... You know, what you have is you have two air conditioning units with a shared portion of their zone. And so it could be that, you know, they're concerned that one zone is impacting the other zone and making it short cycle. But that's the only thing that comes to mind.
And Linda, was this just instructions they gave you as they installed the unit and you moved into the house? Or was it instructions they gave you based on a question or a problem you were trying to solve? In that 2,000 square foot, two-story home, how many people live in that?
Most of the time, two, sometimes three.
And what temperature is the thermostat kept in the middle of the summer?
Usually about 75.
Okay. And what's a typical summer bill right in the middle of the summer at 75 degrees with two or three people in that house?
Well, I'm at a loss to tell you that right
okay.
now. It was just recently purchased.
Oh, okay.
And the instructions were printed on a piece of paper.
Okay. Well, I would guess, much like Todd was saying, it was probably a preventative measure to try and keep one of the air conditioners from overreacting. A lot of times what happens in a two-story installation is people think, well, hot air rises, so I'm going to overchill the upstairs and underchill the downstairs. And we actually see thermostats set with 7 to 8 degree different variations. And I think they were just trying to eliminate mm-hmm. the different area there. There's nothing inherently wrong with keeping the temperature that far separated, but it isn't the most efficient way to operate.
Yeah, I mean, I
and definitely not something to spend your day worrying about. Yeah. That it's a perfect 2 degrees difference.
No. I mean, if you want to worry about your thermostat temperature, figure out what your time of use rate is and then make adjustments accordingly.
Oh.
And maybe raise the thermostat when you're spending more for electricity.
We're going to get to that. But before we go out here real quick, let's talk about people dinkering around with their thermostats, because that's one of the other things that absolutely just drives that energy bill up. They think they're leaving for a couple hours, 3 or 4 hours, and they say, well, I'll turn the AC up while I'm gone.
Well, you know, obviously anytime you raise the temperature of the air conditioning unit, you're going to use less electricity because the unit's not going to turn on as frequently.
Right.
The best thing to do is buy a programmable thermostat, figure out your time of use plan, call APS, call SRP, call TEP, whoever's your provider, and figure out what you're paying and when, and then figure out what your lifestyle dictates, and then schedule the thermostat to run at those times, and then forget about it.
And then, that's the hard part, particularly when you have multiple occupants in the house. How many times have you gone to try and troubleshoot someone's cooling situation, and you realize that the programmable thermostat has been programmed 47 different ways? If you have a programmable thermostat, I say put it in a lockbox.
Right.
Hey, more when we get back right here at Rosie on the House.